Awesome. You can sit down. I'm just going to pray for a sec. I just invite you to just close your eyes and just focus your attention on Him. We just thank You for Your presence here. We thank You. Your presence is so valuable to us, God. You are the pearl of great price. You are more precious than silver and gold. We just thank You that You've filled this place with Yourself, God. We thank You for Your presence that dwells in us and is manifest in this place. Thank You, Jesus. And we just thank You for what You're going to do and what You're doing. In Jesus' name, thank You, God. I'm just so incredibly grateful. Like, words can't, I feel like I can't express enough for, like, my gratefulness to God with what He's doing in this house at the moment. I'm just so grateful for the way that He's awakening our hearts, for the way that He is moving by His Spirit. Oh, I'm just so grateful. I don't know about you, but I'm really grateful. And you know what? If this is something that you personally haven't actually started to experience yet, just claim it right now. Just say, God, thank You. What You're doing in this house is mine. I'm part of the family. I claim it as mine. Yes, because He's no respecter of persons. He's doing it in each person's heart. And it's just us being aware and saying, yes, God, do it in me too. Thank You, Jesus. I just really feel to. I'm gonna start with a word that Jace and I brought. I think maybe it was like 3 to 4 weeks ago, and it's really awesome. I just know that's why I'm bringing it up again, because I know. I thought at first it was just for that meeting, but I really feel. I didn't even realize what was being spoken about, and what was on Pastor Kim's heart about breakthrough and prayer. I had no idea when we actually brought this word on Sunday a few weeks ago. So I just feel to just quickly bring it again. And it's just really awesome. So I sense the Lord manifest Himself as the Lord of the breakthrough. And the purpose behind this was to help us break through any lies that would stop us occupying the place that He has for us. There is a seat with Your name on it, and it's by the right hand of the Father. The Lord of the breakthrough is here so that any lies or barriers in your life would be destroyed, so you can occupy your place. And that place of prayer, and speak divine destiny and truth to circumstance. And then Jason came up and he said, I saw the spirit of breakthrough holding a spear. And the spear and the tip of the spear was a pioneer. It was for pioneering. And I kind of, both of us didn't really actually kind of know what that meant at the time. And I really felt to go after that and just look into what that means. And I kind of did a bit of a research, and it's really interesting. Rick Renner, who's heard of Rick Renner? He wrote a book and it's called Dressed to Kill. And he actually talks about the armor of God, but he specifically talks about the spear of prayer. And I was like, what? Oh my gosh. Like, I've never actually heard that. So pretty much if you go in the Bible where it talks about the armor of God, it doesn't directly mention the word spear, but directly after every element, it actually talks about, it says, pray at all times in all forms of prayer in the spirit. It actually says that directly after it mentions all the pieces of the armor. And you'll have to read the book, but it pretty much, he goes into detail, and I'll quickly just read it, because I really feel, it's just Jesus. He knows exactly. Yeah, that's just awesome. So the pilum, so this is the type of spear. So the Roman, the armor of God is actually based on the Roman armor. And so the pilum, as it was called, this is this type of spear that the Romans had as part of their armor, could penetrate the enemy's shield. And the spear was often not able to be removed easily. So an enemy's shield became worthless. Roman generals often ordered a mass spear throw to disable the enemy's shield wall before engaging them man to man. The mass spear throw has a clear parallel in corporate intercessory prayer, and I believe personal prayer as well. The spiritual battle that begins with united prayer destroys the enemy's defenses. Prayer warriors praying in unity launch a barrage of prayer spears that render the shields of the adversary useless. And it's just... God is so good. Like, it's just, he, anyway, we just, I just had, it's just so cool. I'm just so excited about that and what he's doing. So I'll leave that there, but I just really felt to bring that again because it's so what he's doing. So life's transformed, and this is all, it all flows into it, but I probably will bring a few of the scriptures that have already been mentioned because I think we've had about 5 weeks in this series. Is that correct about that? So I feel like I probably will mention scriptures, but you know what? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We need to hear it and to where our minds, our souls are fully transformed. We need to hear it again. So 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Passion, if we could have it up. So the Passion Translation, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. It says, we can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces, and with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured, or in other versions it says transformed, into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration or transformation comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And I'm just going to read the note in the Passion Translation that actually is on this verse. The Greek word metamorpho is the same word used for Jesus being transfigured on the mountain and for our transfiguration through the renewing of our thoughts. Man, I love to think about his transfiguration and what that looked like in real life. I don't even, can't really comprehend it, but all we know is his face shone so brightly and his clothes actually became luminescent. Like he looked vastly different, the Bible says. He was transfigured, he was transformed. That's actually something, as we go from one degree of glory to another, it's actually something that we're called to actually physically shine with the glory of God. And that seems too far out to you. Jesus did it. And so we are to do what he did in greater works. And I just get so excited. Anyway, this just makes me excited. So it's the same word. That metamorpho Greek word is the same word when he was transfigured on the mountain and for our transfiguration through the renewing of our thoughts. The source of transformation, this is awesome, comes from Christ's glory. And the destination we are brought to is more glory. The transforming glory is the result of gazing upon the beauty and the splendor of Christ. That is how we are transformed. And the Amplified, in that same scripture in 2 Corinthians, it says, behold in the word of God, as in the mirror, the glory of God. You behold him in your spirit when you're in that place of his presence, that secret place, and you behold him in his word. Those are the ways we behold him. And as we behold him, we are transformed. We are transfigured. And we're not talking about our spirit man, because our spirit man has already been made completely perfect in Christ. We're talking about our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions are being transformed into Christ-likeness. Thank you, God. He is the one, and it says in Romans 12:2, be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Specifically, it says again in 2 Corinthians, I'll go back again, this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. It is not a work of the flesh. It is not, and I think Brad mentioned this, it's not behavior modification. It's not, oh, I just need to wake up today and I need to just try to be more like God. I just really need to try to be more patient. As soon as we go into works and as soon as we try to pick up self-motivation, we actually put down the power of God in our lives to actually walk out transformation. It's not a mustering up of, I've just got to be better. I've just got to be more giving or more loving. It's just not, that's not like the world, that's what the world does. They have, you know, self-motivational speakers and all this to try to motivate them up into a good place. But the power of Christ is the thing that we rely upon and lean into. It says in the Bible, the leaning of our entire personality on him. We lean into the Christ on the inside of us. It has to be through his power. It is by his spirit. It is not by your might, and Pastor Kim even said this, like, what? Not by your power, but by his spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Your role in transformation is to behold him. And Kara touched on that. It's to look at him, eyes on Jesus. If you behold him and continue to behold him, it is inevitable that transformation will occur. It's actually just, it's impossible for it not to happen. If you're beholding him, truly beholding him in his word and in your spirit, and with those times where he's revealing himself to you, you can't help but be transformed. It is inevitable. And I was listening to this this week. There was this woman who actually, she had a belief in God, and she just wasn't really living for God. Like she believed in God, and she actually had, she died. She actually died and went to heaven. And she was actually hit by a truck. I won't go into all the details of it, but she should not have survived. They're working on her, multiple surgery, all this stuff. And while they were working on her, multiple times she actually died as she went to heaven. And she saw God and she experienced heaven, and she eventually came back and she lived, and she's actually, it's just powerful testimony, and she's just, just radical for Jesus now. Just her whole life has changed. And I just wanted to pull out one thing she said. It says, once you've tasted that peace, that purity of his presence, you don't come back the same. You can't come back the same. It's not possible. It's actually not possible. If we expose ourselves to the presence of God and the word of God, it's actually impossible, because contained within it, Pastor Kim often talks about this, is the power for it to actually perform itself. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You know what's funny? We can think we're like really on the way to like being Christ-like. I feel super patient. I just feel really loving. And we can think we're like in a good, you know, place in those areas. And then circumstances come and we can see how far and how much we have really transformed. And I'm going to be really real and really honest. Like for me, one of those things, and I'm just hear me out, one of those things was having children. I love them more than anything, but for me, I guess, and if I feel like for most parents, it's one of the most challenging things that you'll ever do. It is. But you know what? I believe nothing, and this is such an old used saying, but nothing that's worth doing is ever easy. And God, I don't believe God, yeah, I believe he made it challenging because we're not supposed to do it by ourselves. Whereas that challenge is actually, we're supposed to give it to him, and we're supposed to parent with him. We're supposed to be like him and be being transformed as we're loving them, as we're parenting. And I mean, just like we're just in the toddler, like the toddler phase where they just, I don't know if anyone knows this kind of, I think a lot of the parents here will, because a lot of you've got toddlers, but toddler logic. And it really means there is no or very little logic in some things that they deeply desire, and you can't physically make them happen sometimes. Like, for instance, one of my little girls wanted a Barbie outfit on a big doll, and she just could not understand that it just will never fit. And just even just the plate has to be the color, the right color to them to enjoy the meal, otherwise the meal is no good. Like just these little and just examples, and I'm just touching on those few things, and I know some of you, a lot of you relate, but what's so beautiful is we get to be becoming while we're raising these amazing people that he's given us, these gifts from God, and this is actually, you know what it is? It's actually a fast track for transformation. That's actually what it is. But it's so beautiful. I mean, it's honestly the best, most fun, most joy I felt in my life having children. It really is. It really is. Like I've laughed more than I've ever laughed, because it's just hilarious. Like, it's just so funny, the things they come out with. But God is just so gracious with us when we get it wrong, and when we, yeah, he's so good. One thing that has really been a helpful tool, and I believe it's not just in raising children, it's in every situation. And I was listening to some podcast, and they mentioned Stacey Campbell, and they were actually mentioning her life, and they were talking about she had five children. I didn't realize that, but Stacey Campbell had five children. She raised five children. And it was a struggle. Like, there was struggles, and it was hard. It was hard work. It wasn't easy. She was, you know, trying to love them all well, and it wasn't easy. But the Holy Spirit actually gave her a strategy, and that was actually praying in tongues. And I didn't really, and it's awesome because I'd been praying. I'm like, God, I want strategy for you. I want strategy from you to how to do this well. I want to do it well and I want to love them the way you love them. And it was so awesome because very quickly after that prayer, I heard that and I'm like, okay, praying in tongues. I'm like, awesome. I know there's so many things that there's benefits. Pastor Kim's preached on it multiple times and I know there's so much in that. But I was like, okay, God, but how? And I just needed I just wanted him to kind of explain it a bit more because there was no more detail in the thing I was listening to. And it says in Jude 1, 20, 21, we know this scripture well, but it says, look, we're going to look at it in the NIV. So if we could pop up the NIV. Jude 1, 20. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. And I read that and I'm like, oh, okay. So as I pray in the Spirit, it actually keeps me in the love of God. This is so awesome. It says, as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. So as you're becoming on this earth, as you're becoming more Christ-like, as you're, you know, making mistakes and getting it wrong, he prays through you when you pray in tongues, you keep yourself in his love. And as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus to bring you to eternal life, which is that fullness of transformation. And I was just so excited and so blessed when I read that. And I know, I'm not saying that I've got it perfect at all in this area, that I still need to do, there's more work to do. I want to be able to have no reaction but respond in love at all times. And I'm not there yet. They're just going to be real. But God is, I'm going from one degree of glory to another. I'm making progress as he infuses me with strength, as he empowers me to transform and be like him. And I'm just so grateful for it. And I notice for me, this is just my experience. When I pray in tongues, I feel like, I just feel this and I just can't explain it any other way. When I pray in tongues, it feels like my spirit comes to the forefront. It just feels that way. Like I feel like the thoughts of God are just so easily received. I just can't explain it any other way. Just his thoughts are just more prevalent and revelation is more prevalent. And my heart is just more aware of him when I'm when I'm praying in tongues. And I can tell it's very clear to me when I don't. So I know, I don't fully understand, but I know he's working in my life when we do that. So it's just really awesome. So that's a key. I believe like it's a part of a key to transformation. We behold him in his word. We behold him when we're in his presence and prayer. So good. By no means am I saying, and I've said this, I haven't attained perfection in this area at all. There's still work to do. And there's still times when I react instead of respond from his love. And you know what's so beautiful? Because our kids get to, I'm going to talk to, you know, to parents here, but our kids get to actually see what it looks like to become in the becoming like Christ. When we get it wrong and we're quick to apologize, I often will say, Mommy got it wrong. I should have been more patient. I should have waited more patiently. I should have, you know, whatever the situation is. And I think it's so important for us to show them what becoming looks like. It means quickly running to say sorry, to actually fix it and not go into shame and condemnation, but go, I'm becoming like Christ and I'm going from one degree of glory to the next. And just teaching them what it looks like. We don't have to be perfect. We're actually perfect on our way to perfection, but he's doing the work. And so I just feel like it's just such a good example so they can see what it's like. They can see that, yeah, his power at work in our lives as parents. It's so awesome. Thank you, Jesus. I'll just see how I'm going for time. Awesome. Okay. So Paul talks about this in Philippians 3:10. We'll just if we can pop up Philippians 3, verse 10 in the Amplified. It says that I may know him that I may know him and therefore be transformed. That I may know him and therefore be transformed. That I may attain the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead even while in the body. But Paul says this, not that I've attained this ideal, and I was speaking, but I haven't gotten there yet, and I haven't already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold and make my own that for which Jesus has laid a hold of me. I do not consider I've captured it and made it on my own yet. But one thing I do, it's my one aspiration, forgetting all that lies behind and straining forward to see what lies ahead. And I believe sometimes in transformation, we can kind of sometimes get caught in a bit of condemnation and a bit of like, I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, I want to be more Christ-like, but I'm not there yet. But he actually says, forgetting all that lies behind, because if you've taken it to Jesus, his blood covers it, and pressing on to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ is calling us upward. And what's, I'm just going to, I think, I'm not sure what version this is, so I'll just read it, because it's the same scripture, Philippians 3:10, but I haven't written the version that I've written here. And it's probably a kind of mesh of a few, but that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the power that brought him out of the grave, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable. Just remember that word conformable, because I'm just going to talk a bit into that. Unto his death, as to be continually transformed into his likeness, even to his death. So that word conformable means to be obedient and submissive. Conformed can also mean molded according to a pattern. Another word for conform is to yield, to surrender. Transformation is all about yielding. And I think I remember Brad saying it's about surrender. We are surrendering to the process of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We're surrendering to his will and his way and his nature that lives already on the inside of us. We are yielding and surrendering to that. And I'm going to go to Romans 8:29. Sorry, I'm jumping around a bit, but we're going to hone in on this conform. He just really highlighted conformable, because we often talk about do not be conformed to this world, and that's the scripture we've been bringing out, and that's awesome. Do not be conformed, but what should we be conformed to? The likeness of Jesus, the image of Christ. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm just going to... Oh. Just there's like multiple scriptures I want to go to. I just feel like so excited, but I just thank you, Holy Spirit. You're just gonna help me go to the right one at the right time. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, yes, this is it. This is the scripture. Oh my gosh. Romans 8:29, the Passion Translation. If we could please have that up, because I want everyone to, if you don't have like your Bible with you, I just would love for you to read along. So Romans 8:29, the Passion. It's all good. So, for he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son, or to be conformed into the likeness of his son, or to be molded. And I've written multiple versions in the one thing. So to share the likeness, to be conformed into the likeness, or to be molded into the image of his son. That is actually what he destined for you from the start. It actually says that. He knew you, and your destiny was to be formed into the image of his son, to be molded. And that imagery of being molded and being conformed into a pattern just reminded me of the potter and the clay. And it talks about that in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 18, sorry, there's a lot of scripture, but I just really feel to go to some of these scriptures. In Jeremiah 18, I'm just going to read it. It says, here is the word Yahweh spoke to Jeremiah. Arise and go to the potter's workshop, and I will speak to you there. So I went to the potter's workshop, and there was a potter spinning his wheel. And whenever a piece of pottery turned out flawed, he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to the potter. And I believe there's this softness and there's this malleability that he wants our hearts to have before him, that we would be shaped and molded and not be afraid of the molding of his hand, but welcome it, because we know that it means that we're even more in the shape and the image of Christ. We're even more like him when he shapes us and he molds us and he makes us. And it says, again, in the Passion, there's a note there, and it says the root word for the Hebrew word vessel is a homonym for the word bride. So that vessel that he's shaping is the bride. Thank you, Jesus. He's shaping his bride. As vessels of honor, we become the bride of Christ, shaped in love by the master potter to be fit for a king. I don't know why that just gets me. He's shaping us in love to be fit for a king. The potter's work, this is the continuation of the note, it's not my words. The potter's work is a picture of grace. If there is a blemish in the clay or it is flawed in some way, the potter does not get angry and just throw the clay away. Instead, he reshaped and reformed the clay into the vessel he wanted to create. In the same way, God, if he finds a blemish in his work in us, he reshapes us in his hands and makes us new. Jesus, you're in the potter's hand. We are in the potter's hand. And all it takes is surrender to be shaped, to be molded, to be malleable to his hands. Thank you, God. Hey, make us teachable. That's just a prayer that's on my heart. Make us teachable, make us moldable, that we would not be stubborn in changing into the image of Christ, but we would be just completely soft to his touch. I just thank you, God. Just let that be your prayer. If that wasn't your prayer before, let it be your prayer now, because his spirit's on it. And he's making it, there's the grace on it. So just make that your prayer. In 2 Timothy 21, it talks about a vessel fit for the master's use, prepared for every good work. Thank you, God. In Philippians 1:6, we're going to finish very shortly, but I just want to go to a couple more scriptures and then we're going to finish. But Philippians 1, verse 6, in the Passion, it says, I pray with great faith for you because I'm fully convinced that the one who began this gracious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's faithful to transform you. Again, we are not the ones that transform ourselves, and we know this, but it's just really good to hear. We don't transform you. He transforms you. You yield, you surrender to the molding, to the making. And he will bring it to completion. He will bring your molding and your making to completion, your transformation to full completion by his spirit. He's faithful to it. Hey, he watches over the molding and the transformation of your life, and he will make sure that it comes to completion. Jesus, we must be transformed not only for our sakes. This just so came up in my heart. From his heart, we must be transformed, not only for our sakes, but for the sake of the world. They must have a people who look like the sun. They must have a people who look like the sun, who reflect the glory of God as in a mirror. For too long, and I'm just talking about the broad church in general, for too long, the church has been an inaccurate representation of his goodness and his kindness and his image. But that's why we just need to lean into transformation, not just for the sake of our life, but for the world. Romans 8:19. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. They're waiting. He's just so gracious. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like we're going to finish there, but I just want to spend a moment in prayer for a second. If you just close your eyes and just turn your attention to him. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We just thank you again for what you're doing. We bless it and we give you glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you that you're making that a prayer of our hearts, that you're making that a prayer that we would be teachable, moldable, and completely soft to your touch, Jesus. Because it says in your word that you've taken out the stony heart, you've put in a heart of flesh, and it is sensitive and soft to your touch, Jesus. I just thank you that prayer would arise in your people. And you just say yes to that. If you want that, if you want that to be your prayer, just say, yes, God, that is my prayer. That I would be teachable, that I would be soft to your touch, that I would not draw back when your hands lovingly shape me and continue to mold me into your image, God, to transform me into who you are. That we would not pull back, but that we would fully surrender, fully yield. And I thank you for your grace, Jesus. I thank you that your grace, your enabling grace, is there. So even the surrender and the yielding is by grace. Even the surrender is by grace through faith. And I just thank you for that, God. I just thank you, Jesus, for the work that you're doing in us, Jesus. I bless what you're doing. I'm so excited and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for the awakening of your people. And we just thank you for the continuation. We just thank you for the fullness, God. We press on, we press on, we press on. One degree of glory to the next. We just thank you, Jesus. One degree of glory to the next. We might not have reached it yet, but we're going up. We're going up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. An upward call. I just keep getting that phrase, the upward call of God. I feel myself being pulled. I know this sounds weird, but it's God, it's the Holy Spirit. He's pulling us up. And I often see this, and it's been many years. It's just my own personal thing that I see, but it's just, I feel like it's to help my soul understand. Sometimes when I'm in that place in his presence, I see this hill in front of me, and I see him walking up the hill, and I'm attempting to walk up the hill, and he looks and he smiles at me and he grabs my hand and he pulls me up. And it's like that ascend the hill of the Lord, come up, come up. And I feel like when I'll get to the top of that hill, it's a broad and open place. It talks about in Psalm, it's a broad and open place. Hey, where you can see clearly, where you can see, and Pastor Kim mentions this so frequently, where you can see from his perspective, you can see what he sees, and it's open, and you can see far and wide, and there is no boundaries, there is no stopping point to what's visible up there. And there is an upward call of God. There is that on the inside of us. There's an upward call, come up, come higher. And that's what he's calling us to, come up, come higher. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. I think we'll finish there, but bless you guys. I don't know who to...